Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Roundtable. I'm Sammy Jacobs from Hoosier Huddle. Along with me is Josh LaFond from the Michigan podcast. And we're here to talk about the IU game coming up this weekend, homecoming against Michigan. So Josh, from the Michigan Minute, how are you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Indiana's always a scary week for me. I've been to several of these games in Ann Arbor, have not been to Bloomington. Unfortunately, I'm not going this weekend, but it always seems like when the Hoosiers and Wolverines play, it's always a dogfight. So nervous expectations, to say the least, leading up in the game week.
Yeah, we'll get into the recent series history here in a little bit. IU does not have great luck against Michigan. They've only won twice since 1967. It's a series that's very lopsided, but Indiana has been in these games in the last decade. There have been some crazy high scores, some crazy low scores, some overtime games, some snow games. It's just been a wild and wacky series over the last 10 years. But Josh, I wanted to ask you about the state of the Michigan program. Going into last year, you're coming off a disappointing 2020 season where IU breaks the losing streak against Michigan in Bloomington. It seems like Harbaugh's on his way out. He's, you know, going to the Raiders or something, or someplace in the NFL. And then all of a sudden, you guys are reborn. You did lose to Michigan State, but you're reborn. You make the playoff. You conquer Ohio State for the first time since 2011. You win a Big Ten title. Just where's this program at? And how much has changed just in these two short years?
Returning to the Michigan arrogance that we've always had, Sammy. the expectation in the Michigan Twitter sphere and the blog, the paywall message boards, any bar you go to in the Mitten State is that they're going to smack around Michigan State this year. They're 0-2 against Mel Tucker, so we'll see. Granted, Michigan State is absolutely putrid. The expectation is Michigan's going to be 11-0 going into Ohio State. I can see a path for that. Penn State does scare me. I don't want to get too deep into, obviously, Michigan's schedule and detract from that, but it seems like back to the norm of what I grew up with, that Lloyd Carr era Michigan Wolverine team where you're going to win 10, 11 games a year. You should beat up on Michigan State every year, because when they're hot, if you look at their program history, it is when Michigan is in a down cycle, going back to the 50s and 60s even. So it should really be that number two spot in the Big Ten, maybe fighting with Penn State when they have an upswing as well. That seems like where we're at now, but I'm talking about Harbaugh. 2021 wasn't a fluke year. They had a lot going for them. They were the most physical team in the Big Ten. That went over Ohio State, despite the Buckeye fans' claims of snowstorms and all that. It was a physical dominated win. The funny thing I take away from that is Michigan also had to play in the snow. So I don't think the score matters much when both teams had to play in it. We'll see what happens this year. Going into Columbus, where Michigan hasn't won since 2001, that's going to be a big deal for the arc of this program going forward. I love Jim Harbaugh, growing up a Michigan fan, being born in Michigan. This is the guy that people wanted even when Lloyd Carr stepped down before Rich Rod. We'll see if we keep the continued success going. It definitely seems like the morale in around the program is a lot different than when he first started. He had a lot of divas in the locker room. Even think about, not to throw previous Wolverines under the bus, Shea Patterson, John Horn, Wilton Spate, previous Michigan quarterbacks, a lot of high-profile skill position players that had the talent but couldn't contribute. It seems like last year and this year so far, the team itself is bought in. They're going in the right direction. We'll see if they can keep this thing going. If they can keep it going this year, then I'll feel a lot better about years to come, kind of return to that traditional Michigan deal of every season comes down to that final week with Ohio State. That's what we want to get back to.
Yeah. Michigan's 5-0 right now. You guys had arguably the softest non-conference schedule in the history of 100%. Non-conference schedules.
100%.
And as an IU fan, I am super jealous of your non-conference schedule. But you played a Maryland team at home, which looked after the opening kickoff like you were going to run away with it after it doinks off the guy's face. By the way, Aaron Judge just hit number 62, and I think somebody jumped out of the stands behind the fence.
Well, sounds good. I was wondering why you're looking up, man. I guess I grew up during the steroids era, so, and I hate the Yankees, so I couldn't care less about Aaron Judge. I'm still a Bonds guy all the way.
Yeah, from New York, big Yankee fan. I had it on in the background. And what more than an Aaron Judge cut in during a college football podcast just to make everybody super happy. But let's go back to Michigan's schedule.
Sure.
UConn, who else? Hawaii and I don't know.
Colorado Tumbleweed State.
Yeah, Tumbleweed Tech. Colorado State in there
Tumbleweed Tech,
as well. Maryland gave you guys a test at home. And then I thought a pivotal game was Iowa. We've seen Big Ten East teams in the top five go in there and have their dreams shut down, whether it's Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana last year. You know, they were ranked 17th going into that game and got their butts handed to us. Does that win at Iowa City make you feel a little bit more confident, even though you didn't really get much out of that non-conference schedule, to say, hey, we're for real again this year?
Yeah, and even just touching on the non-conference slate even just a little bit, I hate it because I'm typically accustomed to the old, not to talk about typical Michigan lore, but the Notre Dames of the world when the big non-conference game rolls, and we even played Bama and Texas under Brady Hoke years ago. Typically in the Michigan schedule, you're looking at two cupcakes and then a big non-conference game. We've seen that even under Jim Harbaugh too, playing Florida several times as well as Notre Dame twice. I didn't feel super confident coming out of that just because, like you said, it was the softest schedule that I've even seen. It blew Michigan's 2016 team that saw them lose to Iowa, ironically enough, later on that year, walking into Kinnick undefeated 2 weeks before Iowa State. They blew their non-conference schedule out of the water. This year was even softer. I think it was the starters up until the UConn game versus Colorado State week one, Hawaii week two, had played 45 to 50% of the snaps in that game, which is not what you want to see from a team that's looking to repeat as a Big Ten title contender and another Big Ten title winner. You want to see those starters get snaps, especially under new quarterback and J.J. McCarthy. Playing Maryland was definitely a test. I was a little higher on Maryland than most coming into this season. It's not a homer pick. I really was. I don't have that on record, but I promise you, Sammy, I was. Maryland is much improved. They might win 8 or 9 games this year. They should have blown Michigan State out by more than they did. That score was not indicative of how much of a blowout that game was last week. But like you said, short story long, Iowa was the big test. We've seen Harbaugh teams fold in previous years where the chemistry wasn't right with the team. Not everybody's bought in. You're not fighting for that extra first down. You get that first sign of adversity. Devin Gardner, former Michigan quarterback, said the other day, it was death by 1,000 paper cuts is how you have to beat Iowa. And it's true. Most Harbaugh teams prior to that wouldn't have wanted to do that. This Michigan team and last year's as well were primed and ready for that. So definitely gives you some confidence going forward, a place where they haven't won since 2005 in Kinnick, which is crazy to think about. 17 years they haven't beat them there. It definitely makes you feel good that they went in there and were able to execute their offense in a way where 27 points on the board doesn't seem like a lot, but there's one point in that game where it felt like as a biased fan like me or an unbiased fan even like you, where that game was in doubt. Michigan dominated that from the opening kick.
Looking at your team, you have a new quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. Take us through some of the stars on offense. Blake Corum's having, you know, a Heisman type year, potentially, if he continues his performance. Just take us through some of these playmakers on offense, and then we'll talk about the defense.
Yeah, sure. Oluwatimi, transfer from Virginia, offensive lineman, plays center. I can't believe I said his name right, because I never do. Remington finalist last year, ended up finishing second. He looks every bit the part of a late first, early second round pick for Michigan, filling in the role. Andrew Bastardus, our former center last year, graduate guy in medical school now, ironically enough, as being the starting center. He's got to watch for on the offensive line. He is a road paver, a road grader. He's amazing. Looking at skill positions, it's kind of where things get interesting. You mentioned J.J. McCarthy, Blake Corum. They definitely lead the offense. Donovan Edwards, I'll add two there in the backfield, kind of being that lightning to Blake Corum's thunder, if you will. The interesting part about Michigan this year has been Eric Aull, the starting tight end, has been rumored and reported to be out, potentially out for the year, seeking a medical redshirt. Projected prior to the year as a mid, late second round pick. This year, one of the better tight ends in the country, possibly early third. He's looking like he's going to be out for the rest of the year. He played about a game and a half this season. Luke Schoonmaker, the number two, they're kind of a 1A and 1B role. Should fill in just fine. He's been one of McCarthy's favorite targets. What's really been interesting, though, has been the lack of distribution with the wide receivers. Michigan has a ton of talent at wide receiver. Off the top of the cuff, Ronnie Bell returns for his fifth year after tearing his ACL last year. Captain also for Michigan, Andrell Anthony, the sophomore who blew up against Michigan State last year. Roman Wilson, one of the fastest guys in the country. And then also Cornelius Johnson turned as well with some incoming freshmen that can contribute. But the issue this year has been, for one, the non-conference schedule, not being able to stay in the game because it's such a blowout playing Maryland in a tight game when you need to rely on Blake Corum, and then playing against Iowa, a team that wants you to play up in front of them. So Michigan has a ton of talent at wide receiver, but they're just not getting the ball to them. And it's been dictated by, like we said, the blowouts the first 3 weeks, a tighter game than they probably thought against Maryland, where they had to lean on the run game, and then a game plan against Iowa where you're dinking and dunking underneath and not getting these guys open in space. So Michigan is loaded on offense. It's just going to be curious to see when these guys finally break out at these skill positions outside of McCarthy, Corum, Schoonmaker, and Edwards, who kind of lead the way.
You guys had an all-time great defense last year, which means a lot of guys go to pros. That's what happens. But it seems like your defense is doing just fine, even without guys like Aiden Hutchinson and Ojigbo and who's the defensive back?
Daxon Hill.
Yeah, Dax Hill there as well.
I guess, buddy.
Who are some guys that that have stepped up into that role, into those roles, and have, you know, made this defense a really, really strong one again?
Sure, and your viewers are going to hate me because I definitely sound like a homer. I'm hearing myself talk, and I know how much of a homer I sound like.
Oh, that's all right.
It's funny. It's funny. The Michigan message boards used to call this a three-star defense. Oh, you can't win with a three-star defense, blah, 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 blah. Well, this is a three-star defense, and they look pretty dang good. DJ Turner looks like starting quarterback number one, I should emphasize. Looks like a future NFL high-round choice, somewhere between probably late first, early third round is where he's being projected right now. Jamon Green, another great man-to-man corner, really stepping up after – ironically enough, Michael Penix threw all over him a couple of years ago in Bloomington, potentially putting Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat. He looks really good. Safety is kind of where we're looking back and forth. You got a guy named Rod Moore back there out of Ohio, second-year guy. Decent in man coverage, a real hard-nosed tackler. Seems to have the football acumen that you need to play that position, but can be kind of suspect at times as well. RJ Moten. Guys expected to fill in for Dax Hill. Has looked elite, ironically enough, in those three cupcake games to start the season against tougher competition. Against Maryland, looked okay. Against Iowa last week, he was out of sorts all over the field, making bad reads, dropped an interception as well. So that's going to be interesting. The biggest concerns on the Michigan team, I know I just railed on the safeties, they should be okay. Defensive backfield should be okay. Mike Sanders still moved over from slot wide receiver to nickel corner. Looks like an NFL player there as well, weirdly enough. The difference maker is the lack of depth at linebacker for Michigan. They lost Josh Ross last year, who was probably a bigger loss to the defense than even Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo. Not as good of a player as them, but was a captain on this defense for 2 years. Actually, captain thrice times, or twice, sorry, 2020, 2021. Really knew how to get guys lined up, was always in the right place at the right time. Linebackers have been a struggle this year, especially in coverage, and even more so getting guys lined up. Another position to look for, the interior of the defensive line is good. The edges are where we want to look for, especially after losing Ojabo and Hutchinson, like we talked about. Got a couple of guys stepping up. Ayabi Oki, former transfer from Alabama who played community college last year. We'll see how that goes. He's looked pretty impactful, had a game stealing sack and quarterback pressure last week against Iowa. Derek Moore, the freshman out of St. Francis in Baltimore, looks pretty good to fill the part as well. We'll see how they fill those parts on the edge, but definitely if Indiana's looking to exploit any part of this defense, it's going to be hitting stuff across the middle, getting those linebackers in confusion as we've seen them do before, kind of that speed and space stuff. And then as well as hitting those plays at the edge, because those have been the two weakest points of Michigan's defense thus far.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the next set of questions was, what can IU exploit on offense if they're going to win the game? You said it's the middle of that defense and the edges of the line. Let's look at the offensive side of the ball. What are some of the things that IU's defense could attack on Michigan's offense that they might be able to take advantage of?
Yeah, and just with trying to put it in layman's terms, I guess, having a brain fart here, whatever they can do to disguise coverages to J.J. McCarthy. Now, he's a smart quarterback, he's a talented quarterback. This offensive line won the Joe Moore Award last year's best offensive line in the country. They look even better this year. We talked about the skill positions earlier. Despite losing Eric Hall at tight end, Luke Schoonmaker is more than capable. They've got plenty of depth behind him. It really comes down to the quarterback. We saw Maryland do that here a couple weeks ago. People were wondering, oh, well, why isn't J.J. doing this, doing that? Well, it's because Maryland threw coverages out that he had not seen up until that point in his playing career. They were plenty of disguised things. He's a second-year player. He played in limited snaps last year behind Cade McNamara, and it's now his job. Whatever Indiana can do to bring some exotic blitzes, kind of confuse the looks he's seeing, maybe present a zone but drop into man, vice versa, those are going to be the plays that you want to test McCarthy with.
Awesome. And then finally, want to get you out of here. If there's one matchup you're watching as a Michigan fan, which matchup is it going to be? It could be player, position group, either one of those. Uh-oh, I think I lost your audio.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
All right. Yep. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened here with my headphones, but sorry. Can you repeat your question if you don't mind?
Yeah. Which matchup? It could be a individual person or a unit wise. Which matchup are you watching as a Michigan fan to tell you how this game is going to go?
Yeah, I want to see the separation Michigan's wide receivers get on the Indiana secondary. Now, I understand that Indiana's secondary has been porous, to say the least, this year. I think when I was writing an article here the other day, I believe they rank in the bottom third of the nation as far as in passing yards allowed, completions, and all that. But that doesn't necessarily mean much, because if they're confusing McCarthy, as we mentioned, and they're staying stride for stride with Michigan receivers who had difficult times getting open this year, creating separation, I want to see how Michigan wide receivers respond to that. I want to see how McCarthy responds to that. So really, Michigan's passing game versus that Indiana secondary, Michigan should be able to take advantage of it, break out this week, take advantage of those skill players. But if they look kind of inconsistent, that will definitely give me some cause for concern here going forward. And not only this game, but the rest of the season as well.
All right, Josh, we could do predictions. I'm going to put the farm on that you'll pit Michigan. But what is your
– No, man, why would I do that? All right.
What is your score prediction for Saturday?
Yeah, these scores are always weird. is a Michigan fan my whole life. This is a game that Michigan should blow out every year. It's true, and I say that with utmost respect to you, Sammy. You're a good guy, and I always pull for Indiana when they're not playing Michigan. But Michigan always finds a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. They almost always do that. Now, I don't think this would be a 2020 game where Indiana smacks in the mouth. That's not the kind of team. But it's a weird game. It's a weird series. Write my article earlier, short story long. I'll expound on this because why not? It's been 4 out of Michigan's 6 wins. They've won by 11 points or less under Jim Harbaugh. The other times really weren't much more than that. It's going to be a weird game. I'll go 35-23. Michigan will probably look like they dominate this game, and the score is going to give Paul Feinbaum and Joel Klatt and all those guys some talking material and say they're overrated and all this stuff, when in reality Indiana fans and Michigan fans both know that this is just a weird series and it's an ugly game.
I have a running text with friends. They say if Clemson and North Carolina State are playing 3-0 game, it's the most beautiful thing ever. But if it's in the Big Ten, it's the ugliest thing on the planet. And things like that. So, I had something around like 38-10, 38-17. I think Michigan is the much better team. I don't know if they're, it is a funky series. I don't know if they're going to put up 50 or 60 points. Like some schools in the Big Ten, but they're just gonna grind you down and get out of there with the win. I see something like 38-10 where Michigan's in control most of the game. It is Indiana's homecoming game, which is absolutely ridiculous. Why they we schedule homecoming the same weekend every year. And so it's not like they go, oh, hey, it's Michigan, let's make them the homecoming game. It's always this weekend in October, and it just happens to fall when we're playing like Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. It's like, can we get, whatever, Southwest Texas State for homecoming, or
that last out of conference game for homecoming, right?
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, it's been a funky series. Indiana's backs are against the wall, so I think the hope is that Indiana gives their best shot. But they did go into Lincoln last week in a must-win game and just totally fell apart. So, it's who knows, especially after last year's 2-10 season when IU just – the wheels fell off. And when the wheels fell off, everything else in the car fell off as well. So we'll see if that's the path or not. But Josh, tell our fans where they could find you on social media, on the internet as well.
Yeah, sure. You can find me with being a troll with 20 followers on Twitter at Josh LaFon with a 0 for an O. You can also find me on GBMWolverine.com, the fan sided affiliate for the Michigan Wolverines. I write 2 or 3 articles a week. Sammy's been kind enough to swap with us here for our little Q&A series behind enemy lines deal. We'll try not to rag them too hard. And you can also find me on Bleacher Report under several other aliases where I just make fun of people for having wrong sports opinions. So if you see somebody mocking in the comment section, odds are it's probably me.
All right. Well, thanks, Josh, for joining us. Enjoy the another Saturday of college football. There's only so many Saturdays. So let's make them count. Good luck to you the rest of the season. And, happy to have you on. And hopefully we could do this again in the future.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Sammy.
All right, that does it for our roundtable with Josh LaFond. You can find it at HoosierHuddle.com. You can find us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Give us a like on Facebook as well, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.